Back at it, Rage Back Camper Sales Studios on the road today in Frisco, Texas, making my way to the Star. And we're going to go to the Fidelity Communications Hotline and bring in Bob Holt from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Bob made a great point during the break. You got Big 12 Media Day going on today at the Star in Frisco. We may have to fight some of that Big 12 media off, keep them away from us so we can go talk to Jerry Jones. Could be a little crazy up here. What's going on, Bob? Yeah. How are you doing, and how was your trip?
I'm okay. Yeah, SEC Media Day is always interesting. It's always good to see, you know, some old friends and hear what the coaches have to say. And kind of, you know, personally, or selfishly, I guess I wish it was maybe a little later in the year. I can remember when it used to be late July, early August, but obviously things have changed. You know, you got the season's longer now, and I guess the SEC wants to get out there in front of everybody else and start really early. But it was a good time for the most part, I'd say.
You know, Bob, we were talking about this last week. Back at maybe it's because of the way information works. Maybe it's because we have access through social media to the players, to the team, to Coach Bielema. They're tweeting out things. But I remember back, you know, 10, 15 years ago, we'd go to SEC Media Days, and we would find things out. It was like there would be news that was broken at SEC Media Days. We would find out something about the team that had happened since, you know, maybe signing day, and we hadn't heard from a coach in such a long time. But nowadays, when you go to SEC Media Days, it's not so much about getting new news. It's about, you know, getting information to do stories, features, you know, columns on each individual team. It's amazing how times have changed at SEC Media Days.
Yeah, it's a little, I mean, you're right. A lot of the news, it's definitely hard to break news. I mean, one thing we did find out, Brett Bielema said that Melvin Johnson, defensive line, JUCO signee, he's not going to be with the team, you know, this season. So, didn't rule out him, hopefully, you know, getting eligible and joining the team, you know, maybe for the spring semester. That was a little bit of news. I guess Monteric Brown, they're still isn't on campus, but they're hopeful of getting him for fall camp, if not for fall camp for the season, if not for the season, by next semester. So that was a little bit of news. And one thing I'd never heard, we were talking to us now, I guess, you know, the players, they do interviews down in the big room, as we call it. And then most of the teams, Arkansas being one, they do the local media, has a little extra access. So we were talking to Austin, I think it was David Badd last time, about where he gets his toughness from. Austin talked about playing offensive line when he was like in the fourth grade, which I never heard that. He actually told me he played center. And so when I asked Frank Ragnow about that, we kind of laughed about Austin giving him advice about playing center. And Frank said that probably didn't need to hear anything from Austin about playing center. But so every once in a while you hear some things like that. I mean, I thought I knew a lot about Austin Allen, but I'd never heard he played center before when he was a kid, so that was kind of interesting. But, yeah, for the most part, everybody's kind of getting the same thing at the same time. That's just kind of the world we live in today.
Bob Holt joins us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline, back from SEC Media Days. This year, Arkansas went first. Do you kind of wish Arkansas wasn't, you know, first? And do you think the other SEC media wishes they had Brett Bielema later in the week?
Well, I mean, personally, it was kind of nice to have an Arkansas early in the day. I mean, rather than late, like if they'd been the last team, because we usually try to leave, you know, pretty quickly after the last team is done on Thursday and get at least part of the way back as we drive down. So, once again, selfishly, I'm glad Arkansas wasn't the last team. You know, going first was fine with me. I mean, I think they did that because, you know, Brett and his wife, Jen, were expecting a baby, and the baby actually was born a couple days before that. I'm not really sure what the time tip was, but I think the idea was Brett, you know, they scheduled Brett early, then Jen would have the baby, and I guess the baby came a little early. I was fine with Arkansas going first. Yeah, the media, maybe they could use Brett as a mid-media days wake me up, because I think now that Steve Spurrier is retired from coaching, Brett's probably, I would venture, I didn't poll the media, but I'd venture to say most guys or a majority would say that Brett's probably the most entertaining guy. So maybe they could have used him as maybe a guy in the middle of the, you know, like to go on Tuesday or Wednesday. He just sort of perks things up a little bit. But I was fine with him going first. But Brett said he liked going first. He said he'd have to talk to Jen about it, but if he got to go first every year because of a baby, he'd have a baby every year. So I think he was joking about that.
Bob, were you surprised a little that Arkansas was picked fourth by the media to finish in the SEC West? I mean, I could see a scenario that they finished fifth, sixth. Even I thought maybe that there was a slight possibility the media would have them seventh, but I guess I was pleasantly surprised they were picked fourth.
Yeah, I guess I thought they'd be fourth or fifth. You know, the West is so top heavy with, you know, Alabama. You know, they're pretty much everybody's picked to win the national championship, so you certainly got to pick them to win the division. And then Auburn looks to have a lot of really good players back, and LSU's usually pretty loaded like they are. So, yeah, I think there's certainly no disgrace in being picked fourth in the West. And I'm guessing a lot of that confidence people show that vote is probably because Austin Allen's a fifth-year senior. I mean, you have a fifth-year senior quarterback that usually bodes well for a team. They've obviously got some pretty good firepower and offense, even losing the Bobby Williams, who's used. I'm not, certainly not trying to diminish his loss or minimize his loss. The big question, obviously, is going to be on the defense. But I think when you have a quarterback who had a pretty good year last year and you expect him to be even better, that probably figures into the media voting a lot.
I made the argument last week that if they finish fourth in the SEC West, they're probably, you know, 4-4, 3-5, something like that record-wise. They're going to have more than two players on the postseason All-SEC team if they're to finish fourth. Now, if they only have two players on the All-SEC postseason team, they're not. To me, they're finishing, you know, sixth, seventh. I think maybe some of the players were undervalued a little bit. Was there some guys that you thought maybe should have been on the preseason team?
I could have seen Jared Cornelius making it. When you do three teams deep, and I was kind of surprised that if I read it right, I saw the Blitnikoff watch list come out today. I'm not a big watch list guy because, you know, there might be 60, 70 guys, 50 guys that are on a watch list. But I was pretty surprised I'd see Jared Cornelius on the Blitnikoff Award watch list. I'm not saying he's the best receiver in the country, but I think he's a pretty good receiver. So I can see Jared Cornelius. You know, depending on how the tight ends emerge, you know, one of those guys might get it. You know, another offensive lineman might emerge. Somebody on the defense, you know, a guy like Sosa Game might have a big year. You know, of course, you know, Dre Greenwell, I think, would be one of the better linebackers in the league. He missed all last season. So, you know, people around the college play aren't going to give him a lot of attention. I think Ryan Foley is very underrated. I think he's a really good cornerback. So, yeah, you know, if Arkansas has a good year, you know, they should get some more guys on there. Let's see how it happens. But it's always good to have your quarterback on there, you know, whether he's first or second or third or whatever. And, you know, Frank Ragnow, of course, was a first-team center. So we'll see what happens. But, I probably sound like a coach here, but, you know, you should be more concerned about having guys on the postseason all-star teams and the preseason all-star teams.
Yeah, I'm with you on Ryan Pulley. I think that's an all-SEC cornerback right there. Going into his junior year, I was a little surprised he wasn't at least on the third team. We're talking with Bob Holt, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Bob, when you look at the other coaches in the SEC, anybody jump out at you entertaining-wise? Anybody that you seem to enjoy the week?
Well, actually, Brett, obviously, he's always good. I think people appreciate that he has a good sense of humor, and he had some fun with some questions. I thought Derek Mason from Vanderbilt did a really good job. I mean, I think he's done a good job as a coach, you know, improving that program, and obviously in a tough situation. I mean, Vanderbilt's a great school, and they usually have, you know, two or three really good players, you know, like Zach Cunningham, their linebacker. He's a second-round pick of the Texans this year, but it looks to me, looking at the roster, that Derek Mason's done a pretty good job building some depth there. So I enjoyed listening to him. He was very outgoing, inviting everybody to come to the West End, check out Vanderbilt, you know, kind of marketing his program, which, you know, Nick Saban doesn't need to do that at Alabama, but I think, you know, the Vandy coach probably needs to do that. So I thought Derek Mason did a good job of that. I wouldn't say Gus Malzahn was entertaining. That's really not Gus's personality, for people would know him. But I thought he was more outgoing and just more relaxed than I can ever remember him being at a big event like that. So I thought Gus did a pretty good job. I'm trying to think. I thought Kirby Smart was fine. I think Brett was probably head and shoulders above everybody else. The one guy that stands out, Kevin Sumlin, I thought was pretty good. I mean, he got asked the hot seat question. He didn't get all defensive. He told some pretty funny stories about when he was a wide receivers coach breaking in 1991 in Wyoming. Joe Tiller, you'll probably remember him primarily as being the Purdue coach and producing really prolific offenses. They had Drew Brees at Purdue. And he talked about, you know, his, I guess, Kevin was coaching receivers. They were having pretty good practice, and Joe Tiller came up, and I'm cleaning up the language a little bit, but basically told him his guys better start catching the ball. He was going to be fired. And so Kevin's point was that, you know, he's not, he, you know, he felt pretty, obviously, you know, his head coach basically came up and threatened his livelihood. Now, would Joe Tiller have fired him? Probably not. But, you know, his point was, hey, if you guys don't get their stuff together, you know, it's going to come back on you. And Kevin basically said he told the receivers what Tiller told him, like, you know, in so many words. And so his point being that whatever level you're at, whatever school you're at, you know, you're kind of coaching for your job all the time. And the difference being he's making a whole lot more money now. But I thought he did a good way of addressing it. He didn't act like, hey, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. He knows he's got to win. So I thought he did. I thought he did a good job with that. The one guy, I don't even know if he got up on the wrong side of the bench. Jim McElwain from Florida was not very good. They have 30 minutes to talk and take questions, and I think he talked for about 17 minutes. His answers were pretty short. He just seemed like he was didn't want to be there and was ticked off. So I thought everybody other than him did a pretty good. Well, of course, Hugh Freeze, you know, he's been in a tough situation. He went over his roster for about 16 minutes, I think. I think Wally timed him. And that's obviously, you know, coaching trick to limit the questions. And so I think we got in 8 questions on him. A lot of them were about Houston Nuts lawsuit and NCAA, you know, the looming NCAA probation or investigation and self-imposed sanctions where Ole Miss, you know, isn't going to be able to go to a bowl game. So but that was kind of expected. But I thought overall everybody did a pretty solid job.
Bob Holtz with this Arkansas Democrat Gazette, WholeHogSports.com. Bob, I thought Gus came off as very confident. Do you see the reasons why that they're so optimistic at Auburn? And Auburn seems to be the trendy pick. If anybody could upset Alabama, it would be Auburn.
Yeah, like I said, I think Gus was very confident. It wasn't Kevin Skarbinski from AO.com, and I don't even know if you do the Birmingham, what do you call the Birmingham tape anymore, just AO.com, I guess more of a website. But yeah, Kevin's a, you know, pretty got his pulse on that state, whether it's Alabama, Auburn, UAB, whatever it might be. And I thought Kevin wrote a pretty insightful column that, you know, Gus was very confident and it wasn't false confidence. You know, you didn't feel like he was trying to convince himself or even convince us. He would just stay in the way he felt. And if you look at the roster, you know, they've got a pretty salty defense. You know, Arkansas found that out, obviously, firsthand at Auburn last year. They got a lot of those guys back. And Kevin Steele did a really good job at, you know, as a defensive coordinator, coming over from LSU, and of course he'd been at Alabama before. And Gus said he thought that he should have been like, I think he thought Steele didn't get that much attention when a Broyles Award finalist, and Gus said he thought Steele definitely should have been in that conversation or in the mix. You know, you look at Auburn, they got you know, 2 really good running backs, you know, back. The other big thing is they got Jared Stidham, the transfer from Baylor, and I think a lot of people assume he's going to win the job. But Sean White, before he got hurt last year, was doing a pretty good job. He hurt his shoulder and really doomed him against Georgia and really doomed him in the bowl game against Oklahoma. I think they would have beaten Georgia if White was healthy. I don't know if they would have beaten OU. But, so, yeah, I think Gus feels like they've got good depth at quarterback. I think he said the biggest question was who's going to be the starting punter. So anytime a coach says that, he must feel pretty good about his roster. So, yeah, I think Gus feels good about his team. He's, you know, he's under some – to me, too, because, you know, the first year they went to the national title game, well, unless you win a national title, there's nowhere to go but down after that. So, you know, they've had some good teams and had some big wins, but overall, you know, they probably have underachieved based on what people expect from Auburn. And, you know, it's just so tough in the SEC. I remember Spur used to say that somebody's got to lose every week, you know. Everybody can't win all the time, except maybe Alabama. That's not what he said. That's what I'm saying. But, yeah, I think Auburn ought to be pretty solid. But it's just tough because you look at Alabama, Auburn, LSU. You know, I mean, it's tough in the West. You know.
You know what? What you just said is the SEC. Somebody's got to lose, and a lot of times that's been Vanderbilt over the years. But reading today about Vanderbilt, Bob, they got a lot of players coming back, and they really turned it on last year. And Man, I wonder if Vanderbilt can't make a surprise team. I'm not picking them to win the East, but I'm just wondering if they can't be a surprise team and have a better year than we're accustomed from Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I may have been drinking the Derek Basic Kool-Aid because he is a very, you can see why he's done a good job there because, you know, he's, you know, the way he talks, you know, kind of gets you fired up and I think he's recruited pretty well. He made a really good point. His first year there in 2014, of course, he took over for James Franklin. He'd won back, I think it was back-to-back 9-1 seasons, which at Vanderbilt basically flew in back-to-back national titles. But then Franklin jumped to Penn State, which is no surprise. That's usually what, if a coach wins at a program that traditionally doesn't win, he's usually going to go to a more traditional powerhouse. But he didn't leave the program in great shape. I mean, I think he basically kind of rated that his last recruiting class, which is kind of a no-no, but I guess a lot of coaches do it. But so, you know, when they went from 9-4, whatever they were, into Franklin, to 3-9, there was sort of a feeling like, well, same old Vandy, you know, Franklin came in there and you know, had a really good couple, 3 years, but now he's gone, and they're going to go back to winning 2 and 3 games every year. And of course, Mason never been a head coach. He came from Stanford, had been a defensive coordinator there. But then they went to 5-7, I think it was, which, you know, for Vanderbilt, that's a pretty decent season. Then last year, they went 6-6, and they beat Tennessee and Georgia and Ole Miss. Those are three pretty good wins. And then they had three. The only game they really got, I can't remember who blew them. Somebody blew them out, but they lost to Florida by 7, and they lost at Auburn by 7, and they lost, I think, to South Carolina by 3 early in the year. That's the game they probably should have won. But so they had some really close losses. So, to me, it would really be cool to see Vanderbilt make it to Atlanta. I don't know. They've never won an SEC title, I don't believe. Certainly never won the East since the conference expanded. But to me, that would be really cool. I don't know how the SEC and CBS would feel about that, but I think that would be pretty cool. And like I said, I'm not predicting they're going to do that, but they have a lot of experience back. Of course, thing is Kentucky, South Carolina, Missouri have some pretty good experience back and have, you know, returning starters at quarterback, just like Vandy does. So the teams that they would sort of be in contention with to try to move up, they're all kind of in that same situation where you don't just, I know Missouri got picked 7th, but you don't say, well, gosh, those guys are just awful. They can't win a game. So, but yeah, I think Auburn or Vanderbilt, if they can stay healthy, if they can limit mistakes, win the close games, you know, they'll have a shot. You know, I hadn't realized if they've beaten Tennessee 3 of the last 5 times those teams have played. And I know Tennessee's had some issues, but that's pretty, you know, that's pretty incredible to me that Vanderbilt has beaten Tennessee 3 of the last 5. So to me, that shows that this isn't the same old Vanderbilt that is just a doormat for everybody. I don't know. You know, they might go 2-6 in the league, but I bet you they're going to be in most every game they play. If they don't win it, they're going to make somebody work pretty hard to beat them.
Bob, great stuff, man. I enjoyed talking with you. Glad you're back safely from SEC Media Days. Take care. We'll see you soon.
Okay. Good time with you, too. We'll see you.
Bob Holt, Arkansas Democrat, is it.